so weird, like, hearing nothing from you and you're, like, laughing and, like, clapping and stuff. That just throws me through a loop.
All right, we're live.
Should I tilt my shit more down? Anyway, fuck it. Anyway, welcome into the Chat Pack Podcast, a weekly podcast where we gather around and talk about this, that, and the other thing. It is streamed live weekdays or weekends or whenever really we nail some day
sometimes
down.
Sometimes not at all.
Yeah, sometimes not at all. Over at twitch.tv/chat_pack. Or you can follow along with us, I should say, on our social medias, Chat Pack Live, on the Instagram and on the Twitter sphere. I am joined by my illustrious co-host, but first let me introduce myself because I'm the most important. I'm Paul Holden, and I am joined, of course, by I had a great intro stuff for him all lined up, but he decided to stab me in the back and betray me last week. Trevor Heim joining us here. No mustache, Caleb. That was the big thing. If you haven't noticed, Trevor does not have the glorious facial hair anymore.
Oh, man. That I thought it was just the glasses, but that was just completely
okay, we should probably let Caleb or Trevor speak before Caleb speaks so Trevor actually gets properly introduced to the show. Trevor, speak your piece.
Sorry.
Well, I'm sorry that I shaved my mustache, Paul, but it's been 2 weeks now. You can suck it up.
I still refuse that you're actually sorry about it. It's an empty apology. Caleb Cole returns from driving his car off of hills and back into the podcast realm with us this week. Caleb, thanks for joining us, bud.
This episode with a beer that we brewed ourselves. Steve and Steve is your roommate now, Paul.
That is true. Steve is my roommate. You also can see that I decorated it a little bit more here in the basement studio. Calvin and Hobbs is now joining us, perfectly placed right above my shoulder, actually.
It looks a bit like you're in a maximum security prison.
It kind of does, right? It kind of does look like if you were to watch, like, see my feed, there would be a thing that pops up and be like, someone is trying to contact you from Douglas County Security Center. Do you like to accept this charge? And you just say no because you're like, I don't want to visit him anymore. That's sad.
That's my racist uncle calling.
Whoa, I am not a racist uncle. Don't put me in that category. Okay?
No, he's like a monkey calling from Douglas Security.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. Anyway, guys, let's first catch up. How are things? How have been things on your end? Caleb, let's just get the brief overview. Last week,
just get it out of the way.
The fact that you decided to not properly park your car.
That's a lie.
People know the story, but to recap.
Why are you slandering my good name?
Caleb, you literally had your car roll down a hill. Like, I don't know how all you right, think that you can.
I'm at this house four days a week. I used to live at this home, and I parked in the same spot every single day for the whole time that I lived there and for the time that I've come since I've lived there. And my car, I park in gear, it's a stick shift, and it's on a hill, and this time, I go outside, and it's gone. Honestly, when I walked outside, I was like, all right, who's the prankster? Who
not
took the
again.
Car? And then I started walking over, and I was like,
can anyone else drive a manual?
Steve can.
Okay.
Of course, Trevor.
Okay, yes, that's a given.
Who's at the house?
Yeah, if I needed someone to drive a 16-wheeler, I would be like, all right, Trevor probably knows how to at least somewhat drive that thing.
I don't have my CDL.
I have faith.
But, you know, they don't need to know that. Could you drive
a 16-wheeler? You have your CPL, which is your chat.
Trevor,
license.
We need to get you...
license
we need to get
chat
you
pack.
On the road. We need to get on the road, and our only option is a 16-wheeler. Can you get us out of the situation that we're in?
Is it
Trevor,
a zombie
we're in Alaska.
Apocalypse type
the roads
of situation?
Are icy.
Oh, ice know. Road truckers? Boy.
I don't know. I don't want that. I'm just saying, if we needed to get out of there, could you drive a 16-wheeler?
Probably. You'd probably figure it out.
You know, this is actually an ironic group of people that I trust all people here to drive. I guess just you two. Which I, like, that is... I don't have a lot of anxieties, thank goodness. And that is one of them. Driving with other people freaks me out. I can't do it. I get so stressed out. I'm just sitting there, like, trying not to be like...
I hate... Honestly, legitimately hate being a passenger in cars, like,
it's
nine
awful.
Times out of ten.
Oh.
It's one thing for a road trip when, like, you need to, like, kill some time and that thing. But, yeah, I am in the camp of... I'm much more comfortable driving. But I will say, Caleb, actually, you're the person I don't feel as bad with. You're someone I don't mind having the drive.
I think we've spent a lot of time on the road with each other.
Yeah.
We've multiple road enough. Trips.
Yeah. Well, so it's like that. But speaking of driving, why is there an S before? She really threw off this whole thing. But our friend Mojo Jojo Joe, aka our friend Joe, is in the chat she can drive a forklift if we need to. And let's be totally honest, I would love to see Joe drive a forklift. Do I necessarily think that's a great idea? No.
I bet she could do it. She used to drive around that big ass recycling truck.
Yeah, she was.
But I can't tell you how many times we were. I was just like chilling. Dude, and then all of a sudden, I just hear like some music, just like, and I'd look over, and it's just her jamming out across the parking lot while she's in the big ass truck, like slamming, playing drums on the wheel. I'm like, oh,
I don't think so. I think few people, at least that I know, enjoy life like Joe does. There's no one that can make the most fun out of a situation like sorting pallets of batteries. I would rather, if there was anyone that I had to just sort batteries or rift through trash with, there would be no person I'd rather do it than Joe, I think.
What about Bill Murray?
Bill Murray would not want to sort trash. I think he's not above sorting trash, and I think he would sort trash, but like, let's be honest, he's not going to put in the work. Joe will teach you everything. She actually was our guest star last week, one of our guest stars, and taught us some recycling tips as well.
You really missed out, Caleb. Anyway,
you did really miss out. But Caleb, let's go back. You're in the house. You come back. You think someone's stolen your car. You come back outside and you find that that's not the case.
Well, I came back. I like walked down a little bit because it's to understand the lay of the land. There's a parking lot at the top of the hill where you guys live, and so it could fit like probably 6 cars like comfortably. Like it'd be hard to like move the cars around, but it could fit.
I would say 6 cars if you had 2 cars that didn't need to leave though.
But yeah, true. But then so I looked over like down the hill where the driveway is, and to the right of where the driveway is that comes up, I could see that there was just some grass depressed. Like it looked like something had rolled down and pushed that grass down. And then I walk up to the edge and I look down the— is ravine too intense of a word? It's not quite a ravine.
No,
but
it's
in between
hill,
a grassy
like,
hill and a ravine, though.
We live on a hill. We live on a hill. Yeah. So I would definitely say it's at least part of the hill. Like,
would you say
it's a hill that you would definitely not want a rollerblade down? Let's put it that way.
Would you say it rolled into the creek?
It is steep. It didn't go into a creek, but the bottom of the driveway forks upwards, and so it like a— it almost made it into the neighbor's side of the driveway. And boy, was it— I mean, it was up. One of the wheels wasn't touching the ground. It was on a log.
Well, if those logs hadn't stopped your car, this thing was going through a house. Like,
Of how slow it was, it must have been, because when I got down, the e-brake lever was still pulled and it was still in first gear. I have no idea. It must have been like, because I knew the emergency brake was weakening. Like it would still stop the car on a slight incline, not even in gear. But I thought, no way can a car roll if it's in gear. That's just not possible, right? Like
not
I
usually.
Could slide forward. But then, and I thought too, when I told my dad the story, he was like, oh, I must have slipped out of gear. That's the only way. But when I got down there, I tried to pull it out of first gear to see if it was in neutral or first gear. And it was like, it was in gear. And I pushed the clutch in and then it snapped right into neutral. So think it just—
how far did it roll forward?
50 feet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so top of a driveway to
75
the bottom.
Feet.
I mean,
it's a long driveway.
I mean,
and it got stopped by a pile of logs.
Right
out.
That's a significant roll. Like that's the thing. Like it this wasn't just like a little dippity doo. Like I feel like people might be like, was actually going. And in reality, like I said, house was the big damage. But like it's a relatively busy street. It's more so there could have been a freaking car and another car could have been coming, and it could have been an absolute—
think about the poor
nightmare.
Trees.
I mean, this freaking guy. Let me tell you, no one on this earth would have a car roll down a hill, go through a big wooded area, have a log that is literally jamming and holding the car in place, and we have to dig it out. And then the only thing that it's dripping a little windshield wiper fluid. That's the only thing that happened to this car. It literally, like, it is. And then he's like, well, all right, I'm going to Toledo. Whoop. There he goes. He just drives off.
I got
off.
Really lucky.
He literally just drives off as if, like,
I like to think that that's part of the reward of a mentality that I saw my car roll down. And, like, you know, that shit happens. And you can be like, of course this happens to me. Like, oh, this is just my luck. Or you can, what I responded with was laughter, for sure. I was like, holy shit, this is the funniest thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life.
I mean, because
life.
Like the full for house, sure. Just, we like ran out. Like Steve didn't have a shirt on. Like I didn't have shoes on. Like we all just ran down to just like assess the situation of like, and I was like, okay, I need a help. I don't have shoes on. I need to go back, and I just had to run back real quick and like come back with shoes because it was literally just.
Do you remember the dude who like he walked by and he was just laughing too? He was just like, oh, and he was just like looking up and he was like, oh, shaking his head and just like, oh boy.
I remember when that happened to me back in 72.
It's like the woes of a dumbasses. Young man.
Anyway.
It had to look ridiculous, and then we dug it all out. And then it still wouldn't, like, you know, there was a, it was almost bottomed out on a big log. And so I dug out beneath the log and then moved it sideways. And then Steve and Paul got behind it, just gave it a slight little push. And I mean, it just popped right out. And the only thing, it was the windshield wiper was dripping a little, or windshield wiper fluid was dripping a bit. And then the front fender, right? Fender was just like, it was broken in one spot, but I actually kind of fixed it. Like, I just popped it back out. You know, it was, like, badly dented, but I just kind of hammered the dent out, and it looks fine.
You also so had lucky. A couple of, you had, like, a couple of scratches and stuff, too, I feel like, as well, on your
well,
on
they
your
were,
sides.
Those,
but,
remember,
but
most of
bad.
Those were already there, because it was a reclaimed title car. Like, they all
remember,
those,
I wasn't here. That was probably, like, the second time I've seen that car.
That's fair. All right,
anyway,
moving on. Sorry.
Yeah, but we had to at least bring that up if you listen
so
to last
So if you
episode,
park
so.
Your car on a hill, leave it honestly, in gear, and make sure you get your emergency brake checked regularly.
Now, this is going to hurt Trevor a lot, but that was the day I learned that you just didn't put manuals in park. There wasn't a park setting. So
wait, really?
That's the, Paul, dude, I drove a, that's, I've never been behind the wheel of a manual car. I've never, it was never a thing you. In my family. Like it was never we'll something like I mean, it sounds like a cool thing to learn, but to be totally honest,
you know how I learned how to drive
cruise control
a
kicks ass, man. It's great. I just turn it on and
manuals
boom.
Have cruise control too, though.
Oh, well, there
I've,
you go.
I've told they him this it. Before, Caleb. Don't worry.
I learned how to drive a manual because my dad had a stick shift, and I was buying my first car, which was a stick shift, and I said, well, like, you'll teach me how to drive a stick shift in your car. And he was like, I don't want you driving my car. Like, you're going to learn. That car has 250,000 miles on it. I don't need you wrecking that. And I was like, wait, are you serious? You won't teach me? And he's like, maybe in your car when you get it. And then he was getting a colonoscopy done the day I was buying my car, or the day before I was buying my car. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to get his keys and teach myself how to drive a manual in his car. Did not go well.
Yeah,
wasn't
not
wasn't
a good
the
idea.
Best experience. Yeah,
I would say
it was a lot
thing,
of stalling, but I didn't
yeah, the
hit
last
anything.
Thing you fuck with is dad's car, especially your dad's car, because he'd be like, Caleb, you're a dumbass. Like, why are you taking?
He'd
my
be like,
car?
Give me your car now.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be like, you don't have a car anymore. I have to go to work. You have to go ditch class because I know you're not going to school. And
I was a delivery driver at that time.
Balls around with this kid over here.
Lax balls.
Lax balls.
Running around and Anthony Wayne zip. While I was out playing America's Pastime, being benched by juniors for no reason.
It was probably anyway. That attitude right there, Holden.
I had a... Nah, that's not true. I didn't have the best attitude. But
so on a lighter note, this is a beer that we brew. It's a imitation
whoa, how,
of Cool
okay,
Beans.
Are you double glassing? Like, it literally looked like you just took a drink in one hand, and it must have been a very quick pass underneath the camera to
my
to
sleight of hand
it.
Skill is off the charts. They don't even have
it's all
a level
Smash
high
Brothers.
Enough in it. Yeah. Like
would you say
hand?
Would you say you have wow. sleight of hand pro?
Not quite there yet.
Going into the chat here. Hold on. Before that, I wanted to at least chat with our
this
chat
is a
here.
Scatterbrain podcast today.
Yeah, we're catching up. We're bringing you back. Joe says in the chat, she uses the emergency brake all the time. And for drifting, automatics I'm sure. are for losers. Automatics are more difficult to use and more efficient, says Trevor's a nerd. I'm probably going to always drive an automatic, but I'm also on my way to becoming a proud scooter owner.
Wait, are automatics more... Ooh. Oh, they're more efficient, like gas mileage, right?
They're also like... Wait. Well, now they're like technically faster too. That's why a lot of like supercars don't have manual transmissions anymore, which is dumb and not fun.
Yeah, it's boring, dude. Manual transmissions are awesome. They make you feel like you have complete control over the car. It's awesome.
Just way fun.
Also, no, that's like, all right, never mind. I don't want to get nerdy about the manual transmission.
I was going to say, speaking of learning stick shift, that was one thing that my parents like hammered into me was like, your first car will be a manual. You will learn how to drive a manual. And
I think that's really, actually really good for a kid.
Such an Ohio thing.
I don't think so. What? Who the hell cares?
I have a good argument. No, because I know that when I was a kid, like, I'm not proud of this moment. But the first time I ever drove away, like, I was like, oh, I got my license. Like, finally going to take the first drive alone. And I hopped in the car and started driving. I was like, my mom's not here in the passenger seat. I'm going to switch the music on my iPod Touch because that was a thing one day, kids. And I immediately was, like, in the left lane. I was like, oh, shoot. But, like, when you're a stick shift makes you pay way more attention because you have to watch the RPMs and think about your speed, like, way more. It's... the focus on the road.
And you need both feet and both hands to drive it versus like just cruising along and you can like be on your phone and you can be eating and, you know, doing whatever.
I think it's actually safer. Like
I almost, I will say also to be fair, yeah, I almost hit a mailbox because I was trying to put music on my first solo
who
drive
by hasn't?
Myself.
That's what I'm saying, man. Everybody, when you
I
get
will
that
not
freedom,
stray away from that. Oh yeah, my God,
when
dude.
You get that freedom,
dude,
it
the
was
feeling
bad.
The feeling when you get to like when you get your license and you can and you have a car and you can just go, it's a whole new world.
I remember one of my friends trying to convince me that like getting your license wasn't that big of a deal, and then I got it and I was like, wow, he couldn't have been more wrong.
Oh my God,
I can
I
go
could
anywhere
go,
I want. I can drive to Chicago
food?
On the like yeah. just on a whim.
Yeah, I could just yeah.
We drove to Chicago just to get pizza one time.
Chicago's pretty good for pizza, man. Pizza sounds good. I mean, it's dinner time. After
I do
this,
think
so
Chicago
anyway.
Pizza's overrated. I don't want to get into a whole big thing, but I'm just saying I think it's overrated.
Joe in the chat says, I sang that song for my audition to the talent show. They gave me a silent role. I feel it, Joe, but that's why you were that's what it inspired you to go and start the band Stink 180 Poo. Athens, Ohio's number one.
Number one hit cover band, yeah.
There you go.
But I'm trying to audition for the reunion though, because I want to come out and I want to sing actual Blink 182 songs with the band, because I think I got a pretty good impression of the singer.
No, don't show us. Don't show us.
So here's your holiday. Hope you enjoy it this time. I gave it all away.
Why is he like British?
Or
yeah, I don't know. It's not. Is that Tom York
in
impersonating
the car,
Tom DeLonge?
To pick you up on our very first date.
Okay,
is
that's
it cool
close.
If I hold your hand?
Yeah, no, you
is
got
it. Is it wrong if
you
I
got
think it's lame to
you
dance?
You don't need to prove anything anymore.
Do
you
like
we
my
you.
Stupid hair?
You know, Paul.
Could you guess that I didn't know what to wear?
I think.
I'm just scared of what you think. You make me nervous, so I really can't.
I don't want to do this podcast anymore. I'm done.
Let's go.
No.
Don't wait.
I'm quitting live on air. I'm sick of it.
Oh, man. Blink-182 is still great, man. I'm not going to
forget
lie,
the
man.
Protests in the street. I'm going to protest here right now.
Yeah, the true, you know, important things to protest.
I don't think
about.
It's too late in life, Paul. You know, one thing, like lately, I've been considering is obviously like I play music and I sing and I think I have a pretty good understanding of just production in general, and I've actually thought a lot about trying to get into local theater and like trying to figure out what that would look like, because man, when I was a little kid I was obsessed with it. I thought it was like the coolest thing in the world, and
that's
of course
cool,
my dad
I mean,
was like, well, how about baseball?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that one, but honestly, worst that's a pretty sport. Good idea. The thing I on the, in a similar So did your face. In a similar vein, I was thinking I think improv would be fun. Like,
yeah, doing, well, I would be like, so bad at it though.
Like an improv group, or like a yeah. I don't think so. You're quick on your feet.
No, I guess, I'm not. Like,
that's true. You don't go along with the bits as well. You get annoyed with bits.
I don't get annoyed with them. No, like, standing. I just don't. The people who
stop
do improv are so fucking, like, think about Matthew Labar.
That's true.
That's a friend of ours who I would just be like, give me a pun about horses. Actually, make that three puns about horses. And he would like come up with something. He's like, oh, I would, but I'm not stable enough. You know, like, and then it was just like, and it wasn't like he had them prepared. It was just like it was off the dome. It's incredible.
That's true. It also helps that Matthew is like a very smart person in just like a lot of different ways too. Like he,
yeah, incredibly so.
Yeah, he really is like, he's just has so much knowledge about a lot of things, and he's not afraid to like just step up to like throw something out there too. Because I feel like that's part of it with improv. Like you have to at least just like be willing to just try something at least. You know what I mean? And just roll with it after that.
The only thing I know about improv is just the yes and. You're just supposed to take whatever someone says and add
yes
to it.
Yes and. Yeah.
I'm looking.
I don't think I would really enjoy that as much.
It's hard.
I'm
it's
looking
hard to
at
do.
The. I'm looking at the video feed here, and on the Twitch thing, I look like a jumbled mess. So I don't know what to do about that.
Well, Paul, that but you got to start with a haircut. And a good beard.
I mean,
cut.
I did. I need
you have
haircut.
To take a shower with soap. With
you
soap.
You have to use soap?
Paul needs to use soap at least once.
I got sensitive skin. I do need to use soap. I need good stuff for my skin. I got the eczema.
That's what you're looking like on here, Paul. I don't know. Your video's wigging out.
Yeah, but I turned on the audio real quick. People can hear me, so we're just going to roll with it. And, you know, now I can be a cool sci-fi. I'm like a StarCraft character that's being interrupted during the transmission or something, and I bet neither
like
one
that,
of you guys know what the hell I'm talking about.
You like that all your base are belong to us, guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, good point.
Dude,
speaking of video
Amanda
games, really...
had never seen that video.
That makes total sense. Why the... why...
That's like a classic internet history video. Come on.
I guess that's true.
That was like
it's
one of the
really,
early
but
viral
I feel like
videos.
It's more in like, I feel like it's more in the like, still in that video game nerd realm. Trevor's a nerd in chat says, Paul's dashing looks have broken the internet. Been trying to tell these people, you know?
Bushy don't
beard,
inflate
short hair
his ego.
Combo is a good look for old Pauly H. Let's be honest. I did one exercise or one round of exercise yesterday, so I'm basically
one round
now. So
one round.
Well, we did the hill circuit thing. So I ran up the hill and we did 10 rounds of that. So I'm feeling it today.
He did one round of Wii bowling.
Okay, that hill, even just walking up that hill once is most or like more work than most people do on a daily basis. That hill is so steep.
You know, speaking of hard work, people put in a lot of hard work into the PlayStation 5 presentation yesterday, and we have to
Segway.
Look at that. Caleb just rolls. The best is when he rolls his eyes because he knows where I'm going and he knows I got a path to take and I took it there. PlayStation 5 was revealed yesterday. Like officially, they showed the box. They showed a bunch of games. They showed a bunch of cool stuff that honestly, which is an interesting thing for me. Actually, I'm going back and forth. Am I a PS5 day one instead of an Xbox, which would be a
whoa,
major
that's
flip.
A big development in Mr. Holden's life over there.
Or I completely stab really both of you in the back and I buy both of them and instead of
or
buying a PC.
you could just grow up and buy a PC because you can not only game on
PC
it, but you can also edit video.
But the PC doesn't have Marvel's Spider-Man that's going to have Miles Morales in it. And it's going to be freaking...
You're
going to
get that
it.
Game
honestly,
and play
that
it for like
it.
A month and then be done with it.
No, there's great games. Like, no, it's a standalone game. It's going to be... It probably... And if you, I will highly recommend, if you are into comics and things, I highly recommend reading the Ultimate Spider-Man with Miles Morales. I actually...
Also checking out our podcast episode where we interviewed a professional comic book praiser.
Yes, absolutely.
Callback.
And that was a great interview. That was a ton of fun.
Yeah,
so they announced that Spider-Man's coming back, a standalone game with Miles Morales, which literally is a console seller for me, honestly. Like, legitimately, like, I loved the Spider-Man game that came out. It was one of the games that, like, legit, I had a blast playing from the moment I started it. It was a game I didn't want to end. I never got into the DLCs, mostly just because it wasn't in my budget at that time, like, at the time to play them, and the reviews really weren't, like, enough for me to be really excited. It was, like, they added some more story, but it seemed like it was, like, here's some features that might have been cut from the first game, and here's a lot of those features that you just kind of do over and over again. So I it doesn't seem like I really wanted to go there, but Miles Morales has actually quickly become like one of my favorite comic characters from Into the Spider-Verse, and I believe I've read and I own the first two collections of Ultimate Spider-Man. I don't know how many issues that is, but it's at least 20 plus issues that I've read with Miles Morales. And I just think he is a really, really cool character. He's a really cool take on Spider-Man.
I bet you are just irresistible to the opposite sex with that.
Hey, man, happily in a relationship for a couple of years with a total nerd who will probably read my video game collection. So why don't you just
But I know she'd be on my side with this argument. Second, I'm going to get a punch card for when you bring up eczema. And you're going to, like, it is only going to be, once you run out of the punches, you're done. You can't say it again.
I will not care. I do not follow that authority, and I will not listen to that. Anyway, also announced the Horizon Zero Dawn sequel. You go further west.
That game looks sick.
The game is sick. It's actually on my backlog. I never beat it, so I'm gonna watch basically an update on the story up to where I stopped, and then I'll just beat the game because I don't want to restart.
One of the prettiest games I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming to PC. That's one of the
is
games.
Did they confirm that yesterday? Yeah, that was the because I think Horizon's
the first one. Horizon Zero Dawn's coming. I don't know about the new one.
Yeah. It probably will, but Trevor, that is that's a must play for you. I think you'll really like that game.
It's super cool.
I've been excited to play it.
I watched Paul play
it
a lot. Didn't we all watch? That was when we all lived together in Athens when Paul was playing that.
It was towards the end though, so it wasn't. I think it was towards the end. So we didn't have a ton of time. There was a lot of good games that came around. The end of I walked past our old house the other day.
You didn't know which one it was.
Yeah, I went from the back and I went to the wrong one, but then I was like, oh, wait a minute. There's the
That is such a Paul move.
I haven't seen everything from yesterday, but it was exciting stuff. PlayStation definitely came out the gates. But this is fresh or hot off the or on the heels.
What's the price?
Of probably one of the big interesting things.
$500,
They did. That's actually the big interesting thing from yesterday. They did not announce the price, and I don't know why.
They announced two different consoles.
There's two different consoles. They're following the Xbox.
Hold on,
approach.
Explain that.
They're following the Xbox approach of they have a disc drive and a discless drive, and so it's if you want to go all digital, you can go for the cheaper model. You can play your games digitally. You can.
Disc drives like $15 to put in something.
Yeah, and I'm still my favorite games I will buy physical, like, and I will have a physical copy and I will want the ability to play physical games. And leading in, The Last of Us Part II comes out next week. I will be, you know, that as much as I want to, as soon as that game unlocks, play
when you get
it,
that, please
start,
let me know.
Oh, dude, it's all I'm doing.
I want to watch
weekend.
It. It's like watching a movie. Yeah, it's so awesome.
Legitimately, it's all I'm doing.
I just
want to
watch
weekend.
It play it.
That's all I want to do. I will definitely opt for disc drives, but I did actually think though with the PlayStation 5, I was like, do I go digital so I can go both consoles for a cheaper option? But nah, I like having the collections. I like seeing them. I like having them mostly. I like having them. Which is a big deal for me, but yeah, that was interesting. Honestly, they had a bunch of good stuff, but I guess they're waiting for Microsoft to tip the hand first about price for the new console. And, I think we'll hear more about, We've seen a little bit from Xbox, but we'll see more come July. But it's crazy because E3 would be wrapping up like right now, actually, if it was still happening this year. So there's still so much big video game news to come.
Did they cancel E3 because of the whole pandemic thing, or did they cancel it before all this happened?
Okay. E3 was like on the rocks, and some people were concerned about it because people were pulling out even before pandemic. Like Sony didn't go to E3 last year, and they weren't going to come to E3 this year, most famously. So they were on the rocks, but no, it was canceled due to the virus. But it'll be interesting to see if it comes back. Honestly, like really. The PlayStation presentation last night was the most watched gaming like live stream thing. I think on YouTube, like history. That's a big fucking deal.
I mean, people are at home and bored.
Yeah, makes I mean sense. That's definitely part of it for sure. And the PS5 has just there wasn't a lot of information. Xbox has put out at least information to like sink your teeth into a little bit and go into. This was PlayStation's first big thing, and then like Microsoft had this weird comp thing earlier where they said they were going to show some games and it was weird, but this was Sony like coming out and be like, here's Horizon, here's Spider-Man, here's Grand Theft Auto 5 being brought to next gen.
Here's another Skyrim. Gran Turismo.
Yeah, and
a new Elder Scrolls? Did they say something about that?
No, he said Gran Turismo.
Or you were just speaking speculative. Okay.
No. I said GTA is the new or GTA 5 is the new Skyrim because it's being put on everything. $20 Skyrim's on.
I
PS5.
Want
there's,
a new.
There's no way it's not.
I mean, they're in development. I want a new Elder Scrolls.
I mean, it's in development. That's already been confirmed. Like, new Elder Scrolls is a thing, but new Elder Scrolls is a long time away. I will say
Did you
at
see,
minimum.
Was
three
it Trevor
years away.
Who took? Was it you who said something about, was it Sky Oblivion or something? It was like
they have a new thing. I don't remember what it's called, but yeah, it's a new IP.
It was like a huge mod package that was like, I think you put over Oblivion to make it play more like Skyrim. And it like was supposed to be like a bunch of, like it was like a third. Okay. It was, hold on. I'm going to Trevor that.
I remember reading something about it, but I don't remember really discussing it. But yeah. They like update it to the latest stuff.
But I'm not going to lie, man. I am definitely, and I know, again, it's not what you guys would do, but I am seriously picking up both consoles.
Just buy a PC if you do that.
Does it make sense for me?
I just feel like there's not enough exclusive stuff these days that there's like it's really worth it not. To have one of the consoles.
I really.
Sony first party
I know
party
it's a weird shift to make.
It would make less sense for me to just go Xbox than Sony because that's, Trevor, I will say that's not true. Sony's first party games are worth buying their console for. Spider-Man, God of War, Uncharted. I know that Horizon is coming to PC, but that's a long time. I mean, those games alone, The Last of Us, exactly. I mean, those five games and six, if you count The Last of Us Part 2, that's worth the console for me. Like, that's worth having that console to play. Like, it is worth having a PS4 so I can play The Last of Us 2 next week. Like, that's a game that I don't like. There's nothing that comes exclusively to PC or anything like that that gets me as excited as a really well done first party game from mostly Sony and Nintendo, not gonna lie, but. Because Microsoft is PC now. Like Xbox is PC. Like not every game's gonna come there, but their future is definitely putting as many of their first party games as they can get on PC. They will put them there because that makes the most sense. Why wouldn't you? So I don't know, man. It's again, I'm pretty set in my ways. I know you guys think I'm crazy, but I'd rather buy a better laptop that can do some stuff than.
Yeah, I honestly think it's one of those decisions where I know you're informed on your side, but I think that if you had the experience I've had with my PC and like how much you can do with it and like how I can plug in my favorite controller and play any of my favorite games with it,
GameCube,
I think once you had it and
Smash
Brothers. Figured it out, yeah, like I think once you figured it out, you'd be like, oh, like I can have like what I want out of the console and so much more. It's not really giving up anything except for a very small handful of exclusive games.
of the best games, though. I think it's something to remember. It's the best games. I don't think anybody is making better single player narrative driven games than Sony right now. Their first party studios are making, because yeah, I think the big part,
I can't really speak to that.
I think the big like thing of PC is playing multiplayer and playing games, and I love the fact that
not always. I love playing Skyrim on my PC.
Yeah, and I understand like how games player. Run and all that stuff better. But to be totally honest, like in a perfect world, I have a PC, I have an Xbox, I have a PS4, and I have a Switch. Like truly, to me, that's what I want. I want to be able to dip my toes into every single thing that I can. And
I feel like it's very repetitive to have both an Xbox and a PlayStation. Is that wrong to say?
Honestly, no, because what I did with having the PlayStation 4 is I bought a PlayStation 4 like 2-3 years after launch. I got a great Black Friday bundle deal, and I got to catch up on games that I know are going to be good, and then I got to bring them on a PS4. Like playing that, like I played The Last of Us with Ian, but I never got to play The Last of Us by myself and just like experience that game like wholly on its own. God of War that just came out, the new one, is a 10 out of 10 game. Is like if you play video games, that if you like single player narrative driven games, that game is an incredible, like that's like a game I'd hand to someone and be like, this game is art. Like, this is a game that you will put up, and like, this is your interactive movie storybook. And honestly, you know, The Last of Us, again, is I like the same thing is what of just stuff that's just so good for single player. And honestly, it's weird to me, but that the atmosphere and the ecosystem of just opening up your console and it's just like, boom, that's where I go. I got my games, I got my other thing, and that's it. But we have a whole episode on if I should go next gen consoles or PC, if you want to check that out.
Go back and check that out. I also want to just a quick update. I did look into the Sky Oblivion thing. So it is called Sky Oblivion. And what it is they're porting Oblivion into the Skyrim, I think engine's the correct word. But so you can play all of Oblivion. They're rebuilding all of Cyrodiil, which is like the nation that you play in, the land that you play in Oblivion. And it's all like the same. The weapons and armor are just like in Skyrim, and the physics of it, like it is Skyrim the game, but then it's completely reskinned and they rebuilt all of the quests and everything of Oblivion, which,
that's the coolest shit that's about so PC impressive. Gaming. The modding, the mods so are, cool. Like, are the coolest shit.
Yeah, and like I think the other thing that is so cool about it is that they are still requiring you to buy the Oblivion and Skyrim game. So, like, I think they could, the way that that works, they could just kind of say, like, yeah, just free download, check it out, like, or pay us or something. Like, I know that's illegal, but I'm sure they could figure out a way, to still make it happen. But it's awesome. Oblivion these days? It's not that expensive. Bucks. And I think it's awesome that they're giving, like, the people who created those games, like, blood, sweat, and tears over those. Like, it's pretty cool that they're still pushing people to buy that. I mean, I guess Bethesda is probably just getting the money, you know, but at least they're getting the credit, the people who made it, because they did a really damn good job.
I'm not anti-piracy, but I will say buy your video games, at least, because that's just the stuff I just feel like you should. But why would I say that for video
Paul
games?
Paul Holden, soundbite, I'm everyone. Not anti-piracy.
But.
Cut it out, Trevor.
I'm not pirating anything. Anyway, this leads me into, of course, one of the big things. Hi, Doc Waddy.
The natural segue from Oblivion and anti-piracy.
Well, no, it leads into just the PlayStation stuff. Like one of the big, it kind of has some piracy stuff in it, or leaks, I guess. The Last of Us Part 2, I've mentioned a couple times, comes out a week from
good pirates don't have recording. Leaks. Keep a clean ship.
Yeah, I guess that's
some pirates might have leaks.
Yeah. But or they've got pitch.
Or they
that,
might need
know?
To take a leak. But The Last of Us Part 2 comes out next week. Very excited for this game. While I feel like in the world I don't get like nearly as like I'm like very excited now, but I feel like it's because it's so close. I don't get to the point where it drags on so long where it's like months in advance. I'm like salivating over games. Also in today's world, it's hard to like be like, yeah, let me focus on a video game. That's the thing I really need to be really focusing all my time about getting excited about. But it brought up this question in my mind. This is, I believe, 7 years in the making. I believe The Last of Us came out in 2013. So this sequel is 7 years in the making. I'm very excited. And like I said before, I hopefully will probably, I don't know, hopefully, but like I will probably beat it I want to know what happens. I'm so excited for this game. So it leads me to the question of what is something that you're still really hyped for, or something in your past that you were so excited for, like the hype was unreal and you were just really excited for it.
Trevor.
I feel like I've beat this horse to death in past episodes, but when Halo 3 came out, I feel like I don't know that anything will ever capture that magic for me ever again. Yeah. It was just like, it was a perfect combination of like, I had grown up playing Halo 1 and Halo 2 on like the original Xbox. And when that first trailer premiered for Halo 3 during the Super Bowl, I about dropped my plate of nachos like straight on the floor, because I was just like, this is going to be the coolest shit I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm so glad you remember that you were eating nachos.
Why do you think it's video games that, like, or at least I guess for us, and maybe it's just because we like video games and that's who we are, but like, why do you think video games are the thing that got like, there's no form of content or media or movie. Maybe The Dark Knight is the only exception I think of when it comes to a movie of like, I'm so excited for this. I don't know what, I think it's just probably because video games are my favorite like form of media, but I don't know. Trevor, do you have any like thoughts on that?
I mean, I feel like video games are kind of a unique thing because you can spend so much time like in them, spend so much time playing them. And it's another thing that like you can, like a lot of games have like a multiplayer aspect or something like that, or a cooperative aspect. And so you can share the experience with people as well. And you can share that experience for like 60 plus hours in some games, you know? So I feel like there's definitely been movies that have come out. Like when I went and saw, which I know you missed out on the hype with all this, because when Avengers, when the Endgame came out.
Mind you, I didn't see it, but I mean, I was on the internet. I was listening to my podcast. They were all about it. Like, I understand the gravity. I know I wasn't there, but I at least understand the gravity of the situation that was going on that last summer.
Dude, sitting down to watch Infinity War in the theater, and I think it was Infinity War that it literally just picked right up from where Endgame ended. So it wasn't
You flipped him.
Oh, sorry.
Infinity War's first Endgames.
Picks up right where Infinity War ends. And so it doesn't waste any time with like opening credits or whatever stuff, you know, like your usual like movie intro. So it's just like, boom, here's the scene that you just saw at the end of Infinity War. And we're going now, like strap in, because this is going to be a ride.
Right.
And like sitting in the theater for that, like I feel like it was the same thing when I went and saw Rogue One. Rogue One wastes no time with like the setting up the movie. And I was so hyped to see that movie because it was like tying into, you know, so many different things from the Star Wars universe. And so it's just like, you sit down in the theater and it's just like so exciting. Like I feel like some people hate in theaters when like the audience cheers and claps and stuff like that, but those are some of my favorite movies that I've gone to see. Oh yeah,
who hates that?
Dude, people get so angry about that. I feel like, I don't know, but
they're curmudgeons.
There's moments to do it though, you know. Obviously it's appropriate, but it's like, dude, if you're not like obviously like if you're not sitting up freaking out when the portal scene happens when you're watching Endgame for the first time in a theater full of people, like you just don't have a heart. And I know I missed that experience, but it's like, I know. Yeah.
It's awesome.
And then he just comes in, he's like, on your left. And then it's just like, you know, and it's just.
Dude, when he wields.
I haven't seen any of these.
I don't want to spoil anything.
Can't really hop in on this.
It's too late, honestly. It's like, it's a year.
Everyone's
seen
the movie.
It's interesting because I feel like movies are done. You know what I mean? Like the ride is in there. Like you're saying, you when you play The Last of Us, you can just go and you can play the story. You can get the narrative and that can be it. Or you can explore. You can find the collectibles. You can find the hidden dialogue options. You can really build this world more so than even the really great movies. Like they'll build a world and it's great, but Endgame's still a 3-hour romp in the world, and then it's a 3-hour, or was it 3.5-hour romp, and then you're done, you know, or at least that section of it is done.
Like movies don't have that aspect of like it's 4 a.m. with your buddies and you're like, just one more match. Let's do one more match. We're on a streak right now. Like, let's keep rolling, or let's build one more thing, or let's do, you know, one more mission in whatever the game is. I just feel like that's way fun.
Exactly. That goes to the point of too, like you said, a game that might be 60 hours, but in reality, like a Minecraft or something, I mean, it could be endless. You know, it could be truly however many hours you actually like wanted to invest in and put into that game or that world.
And I feel like when you know that about a game, when it's like, I feel like we were super hyped for
No
Man's Sky. Thank you. We were super hyped for No Man's Sky because we knew there was going to be so much that we were going to be able to do in the game. And so like with the movie example, you're talking about like you're hype for the next 3 hours. And then once that journey is over, like it's kind of over. You might discuss the movie afterward or whatever. But when you're building up to like the release of a game that could be like 30 hours, 60 hours, 120 hours, like, the hype is exponentially higher for that experience. I feel like, I don't know. It's just something interesting.
I need to dive back into No Man's Sky, man. They completely they've added.
I know. I want to check it out.
It looks incredible. Like all the stuff that they've added, actually looks like the game that like, man, if we had that for 24 hours, all of us would actually have been awake and built some stuff. It was cool that we did that though. I will say we did it. We should,
I want to do that again someday.
It would be cool to somehow do a 24-hour stream with us, you know, doing some different things, like set up, like Trevor could do something, and then it just flips to us, and we do something. Caleb, do you have any thoughts on that, or things that, like, you were hyped about, why
absolutely
video game, like, anything else to add to
games? It's that for me, it's not the most. The game I was the most hyped about coming out was definitely Skyrim. Even though I probably like Oblivion a little bit better, not a lot better, just a little bit.
Shout out to David Jones.
But I didn't play, I didn't play Oblivion before. Like, started playing it when it had probably been out for 5 years when I first picked it up. But then the thing that that's the most hyped I've been about a video game, but most hyped about any type of media, always books, for sure. Like when
has that been true your whole life?
Your
whole life, like, it's always been books.
Oh yeah, when my favorite series growing up, I've said this on the podcast before, but it's the Inheritance series, which is like Aragorn. So I read Aragorn, like, we'll just call Aragorn 1 and 2, and then the third one came out when I was in 8th grade, and I was so stoked about it, and it's like an 800-page book. I read it in 2 days. I was like, just sat down for like 6 hours, 2 days crushed in a row, it. And just pumped, yeah, crushed it, loved it, read it right again, like immediately just started it over again. Same thing with the newest one, which is, I think it's called Inheritance, read that, but I am incredibly excited about Winds of Winter, which is book 6 of Game of A Song of Ice and Fire, which, you know, Game of Thrones.
Oh, the book that's never going to come out.
No, it's July 29th, and he's actually, what? There's talks of it being, it's been July 20th. No, it's been July 29th for like, he set the date a while ago, and he had never, he's not late on dates, he just has never set it. So it's like, he was like, we'll see. But then he said it like in December, he said July 29th, 2020, maybe even before that. But now this talks that it might get released early. That he might actually, because it's been done for a while is what they say. But like, he's just been, I mean,
he was waiting for the bad taste of the last season to wash out of people's mouths a little bit before releasing it.
Oh, yeah. But like that has, like the books are very far superior. Like at first they had it. Okay, this is not the right place for it. I'm not going to dive into that. But I am like that. You best believe I'm pre-ordering that.
Better description of floppy
wieners
in the books than in the show.
Oh, so much better. The detail. Like, I mean, they are just.
That's true. Every
it's
time
incredible.
The funny part about Caleb is like you'd expect you get into some your friend's car and like they're playing some music or whatever, but you never know when you're gonna open the door to Caleb's car and it's a sex scene in Game of Thrones.
Well, and I'd find out I'd bookmark them because you can do that on Audible. You can do a bookmark, like, and then I'd go to them and I'd be like, "Yo, dude, you want to hear this banger that I just discovered? Like, awesome song. Like, it is such a summer bumpin'. Like, hold on 1 second. I'm going to play it real quick. 1 second. And then I press play. You know, it's like, and her moon's blood was upon her, but he didn't, he cared not. And, you know, it gets really graphic really quick.
The Game of Thrones, no, I'm shaking my head because Game of Thrones, like, George R. R. Martin, I think he spends... Like, someone should do an analysis of, like, how many pages he takes for various, like, story elements, because I feel like when he's describing, like, a new city that you arrive at, he takes, like, a few pages. Or if he's, like, setting up a new character or something, he takes, like, a page or two. But when he hits a sex scene, and especially a sex scene where it's, like, weird underage characters or something, it's, like, 15 pages of, like, the sweat rolling down the nape of her back or the nape of her neck or whatever and all this stuff. And
it's,
I'm like,
not,
dude,
that bad.
Come on.
It's not. I would say that the places that he puts the most time and energy is the dialogue between characters. And that's why I like reading those books so
well. That's why the first
much.
Like five seasons were so good, because the dialogue was like, you had to go back and rewatch the dialogue so many times to like pick up on everything that all the characters were discussing.
Well, and there, Paul knows, like, I got the audiobooks, and I would just like, because I drive a lot between
wiener,
here and Toledo.
Next to another
wiener. Enough.
Wiener to
grow up.
Wieners.
Wiener, fluffy wiener.
Just let him get it out. Just let him get it out.
Peter Dinklage.
I actually really like when they
fucking Game of Thrones. Fucking Game of Thrones.
At one point, the line is non erect, floppy or wiener. It's pretty good. It's really funny, actually. But sorry. So the audiobooks are like just one of the absolute best. Readers, what narrators? I think narrator would be what you would call him.
Yeah, if they read a book, if they're reading an audiobook, it's a narrator, yeah.
And it's like, you would think that like hearing an old man like do like the voice of a little kid is like super terrible and cringy, but like,
oh, hey, I'm a little boy, here I am, I got the 3-yard raven, I fell out after
it's
watching
very immersive.
Mom and Pop. Brother, sister,
did you
bang-a-rang.
Did I do this to you when you talked about Infinity War and those other garbage Marvel movies? Did I do
they're
this?
They're not garbage. You're dumb. You're dumb. Like
they
if
are
you,
poopy.
Honestly, they're not.
They're not. Guardians of the Galaxy, top notch. The rest of them?
Infinity War, and you literally don't have to watch anything else other than Infinity War and Endgame, honestly. You might not know who these people are, but that is six. That's 7 hours of
I don't
dope
have 8.5
shit.
Hours to watch
yeah,
one
you
movie.
Do. You told
you
me that you literally
Lord
don't have
Rings.
A job.
Whoa.
Well, yeah, but like I'm so busy reading or rewatching Lord of the Rings Extended Edition. I don't have time for that.
Honestly, actually, that's an interest. I'm glad you brought up Lord of the Rings, because I was going to ask you what
the
likeness
of the
I don't,
Hobbit.
Like, can you compare the two? Like, do you have a favorite? Especially
Wait,
when
Lord
it comes
of the Rings
to the books,
and Song of Ice and Fire.
Game of Thrones. Like Game of Thrones. Like
Game
which
of Thrones.
Books, like,
Song of
I'm,
Ice
I'm
and
curious,
Fire
like,
is. A Game of Thrones is actually the name of book one. A Song of Ice and Fire is the name
what
of the series.
What the fuck
Let's just
ever?
Clear that
the
up.
Books
Let's
of
clear
both,
that up.
Or the Lord of the Rings series.
Did you know that Peter Dinklage had a stunt double? Actually,
you know,
in Song of Ice and Fire, which
the
is
the
name
where John
of three
jumps
seasons,
into the hot tub, he actually broke his foot. No, sorry.
Anyway, Caleb, I was going to ask you, you're a high fantasy guy. Yeah. You love these two shows. Is there one that you're more particular of? And I'm actually honestly more curious about the books, like Tolkien versus Martin. A little, you know, what do you think
so
when it comes to like reading them?
I'm just going to speak for what I like what matches up to my taste, and for sure A Song of Ice and Fire. Because Tolkien
That's the second book?
Is he
second book?
It's the whole series.
It's the whole series, Paul. It's the whole thing.
Okay, wait a minute. So you're telling me that the whole thing is A Song of Ice and Fire, but Game of Thrones is only the first one? And then they just went with the name
it's
of the first
a
book.
Game of Thrones is book one.
Game of Thrones is so much better of a title. Game of Thrones should be the whole thing. Song of Ice and Fire should be a section of it.
Well, the Song of Ice and Fire is the
that's
is
the one.
The,
yeah.
the what's that called? Where the witch makes the mystical
the prophecy?
Prophecy, yes. That's what the Song of Ice and Fire prophecy.
No, it Blood is, Lady?
I don't think we're gonna really know if it's it is like a Game of Thrones makes sense. Like it is definitely like a way better like name. Like I think that was the one thing that they did really well with the series. It was like, okay, it makes way more sense for like everybody to get that. A Song of Ice and Fire might be a little bit more poetic of a name, especially once we get all the information, like when the, you know, the last books come out. But anyway, I digress from that. And I think Tolkien, like, he's an incredible writer, and the individual bits, like the just taking little chunks out, I think he's honestly a little bit more talented than George R. R. Martin. Like some of just the individual quotes are so fucking hard hitting from Lord of the Rings. Like some of the quotes specifically, like just the bits of wisdom that Gandalf lays out, you're like,
you have my soul.
Like if I still, I think about them throughout my day. And like, that's actually changed a little bit of how I like, I'm like not huge, huge developments in my life, but I'm like, shit, like that is so fucking deep.
We should watch some extended edition soon, dude.
There are pages of description in those books about a fucking butterfly flying over a creek, or the way that the backdrop of the mountain really makes the grayish red leaves that are almost completely fallen off the tree pop, and it makes them feel more alive. Like the description that he lays out, while he does it in a beautiful, masterful way, fuck, is it hard to read sometimes?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, it's a lot of fluff. Like, as much as you really want to put yourself there, like, do you need a page and a half about the mountainscape when you can just kind of do a few sentences about that? But I do ask, like,
it's beautiful,
is the fluff a little bit harder to go than in Game of Thrones? Like Trevor's saying,
what do you mean?
A long description of a mountain range or how much walking they do, is that's more difficult of a read than a 15-page sex scene. And I don't mean that as a joke. I'm legitimate. But like, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think that's a 15-page sex scene seems
excessive.
I think it is.
But it's still, I feel like a 7-page sex scene. Like, I mean, it seems like George loves his bone.
I don't think they're that bad on it. Like, yeah, there's definitely some spots, and like even like on audiobooks, like even like, because I'll just like flip through some pages, honestly. Like if it's just, but like the thing is, usually it's like, it's not just like a sex scene like you'd see in a movie. Usually like that, like the bits of graphic imagery is kind of like interspersed between bits of really essential dialogue. And like, it's just to try to like, it's trying to make it seem as real as fucking possible. It's like, how does, you know, it's like describing like what Bill Clinton is doing while Monica Lewinsky or whatever is giving him head. You know, it's like, I'm sure he was like typing in some nuclear codes or something when that happened. I don't know.
I hope not.
But you know, yeah, probably yeah, not. Hope. But you know, like, honestly, like it's not as night and day. It's not like it's just 7 pages of just raw sexual energy. Like it'll just be like a bit of that, like peppered in throughout a pretty essential chapter. So a lot of the time you can't really skip past it.
I heard
a lot in the Lord of the Rings too. They have the songs. Like, it's cool that the songs exist, but like when you're just reading the songs, like, do you need the full lyrics of the song? Like, it seems like that's a little much.
I mean, it's more of like, I mean, you're reading a poem. So it's like, that's another thing. Like that's like they're, and that's what I'm talking about, like sometimes, like just like the raw power that Tolkien's writings really have. Like even some of those songs are just very insightful and really beautifully written. Like it just shows the versatility that he has. Not that George R. R. Martin doesn't have it. And like George R. R. Martin, like I remember reading an interview with him where it's like, what's your biggest influence? And he's like, Tolkien, of course. Like he's the father of modern fantasy of deal.
You don't write fantasy without like, at least
without some Tolkien influence. Yeah, it just doesn't happen. Well, I feel like, I don't think, at least.
George R. R. Martin's like strength is more the politics and the histories of like the world, Because he gets...
Oh, yeah.
Martin gets way into,
such a
like,
history buff,
the
dude.
Family trees and the historical stuff and the, you know, famous
but
battles.
But so that it's from... Like, it's more about the families and stuff versus it's like elves, dwarves... You
yeah,
know,
like the races of the like, world, and
it's like they're yeah. like it's not as, it doesn't go as in depth to the political conflict of the elves, whereas Martin's going
well,
into
the
Lannisters have
does.
All this conflict. There's like all that, yeah. But the Silmarillion is I feel like a little cheat code though, because it's like you're reading the Silmarillion if you huh? love the Lord of the Rings, like you're
well, but that's
like, more people
I mean, that's
just
what,
read
like,
the Lord of the Rings and then will go after the Silmarillion, but it's like. You don't need the Silmarillion to read the Lord of the Rings. You know what I'm saying? I guess I didn't word that very well. I just feel like the core three books, the trilogy there, is what more people focus on. And then the Silmarillion is like, let's dive deeper into that world if we really want that.
Yeah, you know I guess I see what you mean, is that that's a little bit more interwoven into the books themselves for what we'll call a Game of Thrones. You know, like
it
we'll
seems
call that
like because like
simplicity.
Lord of the Rings was like, we are telling the story of the ring and Frodo and the fellowship and like what that means. Whereas Game of Thrones had a lot more of here's the world of Westeros. Like it's a bigger like thing. Like, but the Silmarillion was like, oh, we know you love the world of Lord of the Rings. Here's more about that, the world in this thing, man. I've just
Middle
had the beer
Earth.
In my hand this whole time. It's Friday. It's beer in hand all the time. I just don't have a really good place to set it down here. So it's just like, bad.
But, you. This was all from the question of what. Sorry, we dove down into that. That's a good rabbit hole to dive into. But that I'm. I mean, I get really excited about different types of media, and like, I love getting excited about that stuff. You know, like some people are just like, eh, it's whatever. You know, like it'll come out. I'll play it. But like,
what is it about
I really
a book?
Enjoy like fixating on it. What is it about a book?
Yeah, like what is it about? That, like for you know, like for a video game, it is like because I think a video game bridges the gap of book and movie. It's the interactiveness of a video
really
game
does.
That really allows me to like, oh, here's this great story that you could read in a book, and here's the all the great beautiful look of like watching a movie. But I get to be in that world. What is it about a book that really like sinks your hooks into you? And like that's what gets you the most excited to explore that world. Like, for example, a new Game of Thrones book versus more Game of Thrones TV or movies.
Man, I don't. I think it's maybe. It's partially because a book for me makes me think a lot more. Like, there's mm-hmm. definitely movies that make you think a lot, but like, I mean, like getting the description, it feels a little bit more like it's your own. Honestly, like,
yeah,
you
you're
start
creating
reading about it,
like,
and you're thinking about the image. Like, they can describe it all they want. But they can't
but it's
force
your
an image into your head. Yeah.
Right.
And so
like the way
like,
that you're interpreting the fort or the setting that they're describing might be different than the way that I'm thinking of the fort or the setting they're describing.
Yeah. And I also like, I think I like the pace of it that like, you know, a video game or a movie can roll by while you check a text message or something, but like a book, it's only going to move as quickly as you process the words. You know, like it feels like a little bit more, you know, manual transmission, if you will. Like it doesn't feel like it's being spoon-fed to you. It feels like you're discovering it. You know, I don't know if that makes sense.
Like those,
no, that's
some of the
it's
best.
It's a really interesting point. No, good.
I would
go
say
ahead.
Though, like some of the best movies and best TV series though are ones that like don't try to spoon-feed the audience and they just. Like they basically treat the audience as if they can think for themselves so that like
yeah.
it just creates a much better story, you know.
But I don't mean in plot line. Let me not let that get mistaken.
That's true.
I don't mean that like it's a spoon fed in the sense of plot line, because there's plenty of books that it's just like, here it is. You can only come to one conclusion and you're right or wrong about it.
The blue curtain is really just a blue curtain.
Yeah, like I don't get that reference. What are you talking about?
That's like the classic, isn't it? Blue curtain. It's the classic, like
green
the
light.
Literary
well,
literary teacher is like,
yeah, cut out the part of you explaining it to me. Yeah, oh, okay. No, definitely, yeah, like a blue curtain for sure. And so
the green light.
I
yeah.
thought you were talking about like the light in Gatsby, like green light, like in Gatsby. But anyway,
yeah, like so. it's got representation of something else, but then it also is just a green light that's like in the book.
But I don't mean
but
that
people
in
are drawing their own conclusions. Yeah.
I mean that in the sense of consumption.
Like the
like
actual
when you're
media.
Reading, yeah, like when you're reading it, like it feels like you have to pull the words out of the book and you have to process it. You can't just look and let it wash over you as much, you know?
No, 100%, especially because it is like, you're absolutely right. Like, to get the story, to consume the book, like, you have to read it. Like, a movie, you can hear it, but you can watch, you know, you could check your phone, you could go to the bathroom. I mean, there's so many things that, like, will impede that, but you're absolutely right. Like, a book, like, if you're not listening to it, I mean,
with a movie,
well, you can't passively, like, my mind read. Often, you know, does. What I mean?
Yeah, you can't. Can passively. Yeah, that's the way check, to say it. Passive versus active.
Like,
wait,
like, you can't.
Where does audiobooks fit into this?
Well, I was going to say, so, more so like for a Caleb, movie. For you, like,
definitely more
because you listen to more audiobooks than anybody I know. Like, what is, like, how different just is it? I know it's a lot of different, but it's, or like, you know. When you're listening to Game of Thrones, are you able to, like, does your perception or your idea of the settings or the landscape change because someone's reading it to you versus you picking the words out and going through them yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's that sense of it can wash over you rather than you actively are thinking about it. So there's definitely times where, for, like, the Game of Thrones, like, I actually, the first time I read those books, I just consumed them in the audiobook format because I was like, oh, man, they're so long. That was, like, when I was still in school, and I was like, I really, like, I'd liked the series, but I didn't like it as much as I do now. And then a friend suggested me to, like, check out the audiobooks. They were like, it's, like, Roy Dotrice is the guy who narrates it, and he's incredible. I was like, all right, yeah, sure, I'll check it out. And then I, like, listened to, like, the first one, and I was hooked. But I definitely think that it's a little bit more like a movie, like listening to an audiobook. And, like, there's some advantages to it. Like, I really like hearing, like, the different voices and, like, you know, some of the characters, like, you know, then I like Dolores Ed, if Paul or Trevor, you probably remember Dolores Ed, right? The character in Game of Thrones. He's he's at the wall with Jon. And he's, like, supposed to be...
Oh, yeah,
In the series, he's not portrayed nearly as goofy as in the book, which is kind of a bummer because he's one of my absolute favorite characters in the books. He's so funny. Where was it? Oh, like, his voice, like, in the audiobooks is just... It's honestly really funny. Like, it cracks me up when I hear it. Like, it's just a really well-done job by the voice actor. And so there's some of those things that, like, I really miss when I read the book, like, because I'm like, oh, man, like, it's, that always cracks me up. But, like, you know, the influence is there from the books. Like, that's where it came from.
Yeah.
So you're going straight to the source and it's unadulterated by somebody else's vocal impression. Like, you might think a character is stupid because his voice is really annoying or something, but you won't get that on, like, the pages of a book.
I feel like audio, like, listening to a book, excuse me, is a great way to go through a book a second time. You know what I mean? You've read the book, you've gone through it. Mm-hmm. I feel like an audiobook is a good way to revisit the world, to go back to hear it, to dive back in, but maybe
also
not
just
as,
the utility
as aggressively
of it.
As reading it. Yeah, and like you said, like you if
can,
you're driving
you can
6 hours.
You can do other things.
Yeah, and it's like, especially after you've read it the first time, you don't need the gravity of, like, that thing, and it's plus... you know, this that feeling of when a book really hooks you in and you really don't want to do anything but put it, you know, you close it and you're done. And honestly, like, that's happened to me. And
oh,
it's
that's such an emotional time.
But it's been happening for me for comics. Like, and for me, like, that's just the reading that I've really just come to really enjoy is comics and the story they're telling. And it's just, I close the book and it's like, I shouldn't go spend another $25, $30 on comics, but all I want to go do is go to the comic book store and buy another $25, $30 worth of comics because I want to know, you know, how this story ends, what's going on.
And, you know, life's short. You might as well enjoy it.
Yeah.
Definitely. What's the point of money anyways?
Yeah, I don't think you can really do anything, like, tangible with money anyways. I don't think it's, like, it's not really that helpful.
Yeah. Anyway. What an interesting conversation and
this
podcast.
This is a roller coaster. We should probably be wrapping up. We're at an hour.
Yeah, we're gonna get ready to wrap things up here. We're a little over an hour. We like to keep these things relatively close to an hour. Plus, your boy is ready for a dinner plate from Casa Nueva here in Athens, Ohio. But let's close
out
the show.
I'm ready for Winds
here.
Of Winter. George R. Martin, if you're listening, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I just punched my microphone. But yeah, he's for sure listening. Also, I admire you. You're a little bit creepy, but I do admire your skills.
He's got great stuff.
Anyway, closing thoughts on the shows, guys. What do you want the world to know as we wind down on this June the 12th in the year of our Lord 2020?
In the year of our Lord.
Well, I have to give my suggestion. This true. Week, I wasn't here last week, so you can't say I didn't make a suggestion because I wasn't here. I suggest emergency brakes.
Use
just
them.
In general. Oh. Use them. Pull them all the way, which I did for the record. But also make sure that they're working properly. And if you start getting the suspicion that they're not working perfectly, immediately take your car to a mechanic or fix it yourself.
And don't park
right
it on
away.
The top of a hill.
And don't park it on a hill. And don't even face the car towards a hill. Don't even let the car get any funny ideas. Just nip that problem right in the bud. Emergency brakes.
Let me just chime in here with the Paul Holden fact of the cast here. Way
no,
late.
You we, can't. No, I have the suggestion of the week. You're not
Miller
doing Light a fact of the cast.
Miller Lite High Life.
Garbage.
Champagne garbage beers beer. Is the best way to drink cheap beer affordably.
No.
That's the Paul fact of the day.
There's Paul so many fact, better cheap beers.
Paul fact of the cast.
Bam.
I could play a drum. I could play a beat on drums now. I could. That's
so
how
as
close.
We're wrapping up, we should wrap up.
Yeah, we should wrap up. We are wrapping up. Trevor, what do you got to say to the people as we say goodbye?
This week I got really into smoothies and then I quickly realized that I drank too many smoothies and my stomach's been really messed up. So be careful of that, everyone, all those listeners out there.
You should put flaxseed in
don't
your smoothies.
Don't put dairy put in your diet if you have Crohn's. We know
I don't drink,
that.
I don't need dairy. I don't have any
wait,
dairy.
Hold on. Let me guess. Almond milk, protein powder.
I'm allergic to almonds.
Shit.
Jesus Christ.
Oat milk.
Coconut milk. Flaxseed.
Like coconut
milk's kind of good. I don't know.
Protein powder.
But I was doing my favorite one was doing avocado.
No, avocado.
Too much vitamin C, boys.
Legitimately, I do want to know what your smoothie is. Yeah, no, legitimately, I do want to know.
My favorite one I've been doing is avocado, banana, spinach, either peanut butter or Greek yogurt, and then flaxseed and chia seeds.
A lot of superfoods, it sounds like.
Chia seeds. Wait, you know them raw? I've been thinking about putting them in there.
Maybe that's why my stomach's been so upset.
Right? Yeah, I've heard that. Because you don't you usually let them soak so you process them better?
Yeah, if you let them soak, they get kind of like a pudding-y or like jelly-y.
Yeah. I will say that you want to watch the bananas easy on your stomach, so that's probably not that. But I watch bananas in the morning smoothie because too much sugar in the morning can spike your glycemic index or something, and it makes you feel funky throughout the rest of the day. I don't know that much about it, but somebody told me to stop putting so much sugar in my stuff in the morning, and I feel way better throughout the day without it.
You got to manage that glycemic load.
Also, don't give your kids Pop-Tarts for breakfast.
Or
Come
cereal.
On. Or cereal. Like, teach your kids Pancakes. To eat well. They'll have a better life.
I ate a lot of cereal for breakfast, and look at how I turned out.
And there's your evidence right there.
This has been the Chat Pack Podcast. Thank you all so much for joining us here at twitch.tv/chat_pack. We would love if you follow along with us here on twitch.tv/chat_pack, or please follow along with us on Instagram, Chat Pack Live on Twitter, or with something else like that. But anyway, you can find us at Chatback Live. Please follow us. We would love it. We've been trying to do some new stuff. Caleb and I had a meeting today. We're going to record some stuff as soon as tomorrow. Hopefully have some cool video game content for your faces. But we appreciate each and every one of you for listening to the show. I appreciate each and every one of my lovely hosts here, Trevor and Caleb. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We will be back next week with another new episode of the Chatback Podcast. And maybe, also, I got to give a little subtle brag here. best game of Apex Legends I've ever played in my life today. 8 kills. Championy. Maybe going to stream some Apex here pretty soon straight from the box.
I'm going to go work on my resume. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you all so much for joining us. And until the next podcast or whatever we do, we will catch you on the flippity flip.